feel so guilty now. what am I saying here? So, like, I think throughout in spiritual literature, you constantly find this thread which points to a way of spiritual awakening which is not a sense of becoming. You know, it's not grounded in desire to get something. And you find it voiced in different ways. And I always find that, I enjoy finding that thread in all the traditions. So I came across this from, of all people, Franz Kafka. And if you read him, he's pretty heavy, you know, the castle and the trial. I mean, if you've read him, it's pretty heavy existentialism. And this surprised me. You don't need to leave your room. Just sit at your desk and listen. Don't even listen, just wait. Don't even wait. The world will offer itself to you to be unmasked. It has no choice but to roll in ecstasy at your feet. So, you know, what's he pointing to there? It's like non-desire, non-becoming, not going anywhere, just opening to the present moment. That really surprised me. And like, sometimes you get teachings which are kind of very enigmatic, and this is a couple from Wangpo Cha. A visiting Zen student asked Ajahn Chah, "How old are you? Do you live here all year round?" "I live nowhere," he replied. "There is no place you can find me. I have no age. To have age, you must exist. And to think you exist is already a problem." Don't make problems. Then the world has none either. Don't make a self. There's nothing more to say. Sort of contemplate that. People have asked me about my own practice. This is Lumpo Cha again. People have asked me about my own practice. How do I prepare my own mind for meditation? There's nothing special. I just keep it where it always is. They ask, "Are you then an arhat?" "Do I know? I am like a tree, full of leaves, blossoms, and fruit. Birds come to eat and to nest. Yet the tree does not know itself. It follows its nature. It is as it is." I don't know what you do with that, but that's your problem. Yeah, some teachings don't, you know, they're, you don't kind of explain them. You take them in at a different level. Did you find that? When I speak of listening, I don't mean listening with the ears. Just as when I speak of seeing, I don't mean with the eyes. Listening has no such restriction. So he's listening and seeing are synonymous with awareness. When I speak of listening, I don't mean listening with the ears. Just as when I speak of seeing, I don't mean with the eyes. Listening has no such restriction. You hear with the ears, of course. But what you take in through the ears goes immediately to your awareness. As there's no projection of a result, you're completely open. So when you hear music, for example, you hear it with your whole body. One must become accustomed to listening. At first you see that you don't listen. There's no fixation in listening, only completeness. Nothing is outside the listening. If this listening is sustained, then you recall your body sensation. You won't find the sensation because the body is completely expanded in space. You feel yourself unfurnished, free from all objects. And what you're listening to finds its significance in your listening, because listening is totality, is fullness. You come to direct perception, there's no longer an agent. Again, that's very dense, huh? When I speak of listening, I don't mean listening with the ears. Just as when I speak of seeing, I don't mean with the eyes. Listening has no such restriction. You hear with the ears, of course, but what you take in through the ears goes immediately to your awareness. As there's no projection of a result, you're completely open. So when you hear music, for example, you hear it with your whole body. One must become accustomed to listening. At first you'll see that you don't listen. There's no fixation in listening, only completeness. Nothing is outside the listening. If this listening is sustained and you recalled your body sensation, you won't find the sensation because the body is completely expanded in space. You feel yourself unfurnished, free from all objects. And what you're listening to finds its significance in your listening, because listening is totality, is fullness. You come to direct perception, there's no longer an agent. So and one of the things I see in that is the whole sense of me trying to practice to get somewhere. That whole sense of ego, self, I'm trying to achieve something, or I'm trying to build something up, or I've got this problem, I need to work on this part of this whole sense of an agent. And in listening, what I think he's pointing to is that whole sense of, and receptivity too, say like listening, they're synonymous, aren't they? You're coming to the kind of sense of being totally aware, but not like a doer, me doing something called meditation. Because the doer is always the ego in time. I'm inadequate now. I need to do this A, B, C, D, E, F, so in the future I'm fulfilled, adequate, enlightened, whatever. And that sense of a self working in time would be an error, we'd say. The Dhamma, we say, is not a matter of time, akaliko. It's something you have to see for yourself. It's here and now. When we talk about the Dhamma, it's always here and now. So in just knowing the way things are, listening, being aware, there is not a sense of becoming. And yet, that sense of becoming and struggling and fighting is so much part of the way we make effort. And it's so ingrained in us to sort of try to achieve something or get rid of something. So, perhaps in terms of like developing body awareness, there is a way that when I started like body awareness, so I'd kind of just focus on something, and that was very much in my head, focusing on parts of my body, which has a certain kind of effect to stabilize. But this is a perhaps a different approach. So maybe you could contemplate that. How can we find ourselves in the expansion you talk about? I feel locked into the body. So that goes back to this previous reference of the body is expanded in space. Let this body be an object of observation. Let it become feeling. And notice how that's, I mean, for me, that phrase, the way he phrases that is important. Let it become feeling, rather than me trying to look at some part of the body. Let it come up into consciousness. Be receptive to the body arising in consciousness, rather than me doing something to look at the body to calm my mind, to stabilize the mind. To me, there's a kind of important difference there. So let this body be an object of observation. Let it become feeling. At first, you'll only feel the superficial surface of the body. But as you sustain the observation, you'll become aware of different layers of sensation. And so, I think what you find in body awareness, when you first of all just trying to allow the body to become conscious, your mind goes into thinking, into planning, and so on. So that's difficult enough. But if you don't give it time to become conscious, you won't notice it. So there has to be a sense of allowing time, this is where the patience comes in, the time for the body to really become conscious. Become accustomed in your observation to let the observed come to you. You do not go to it. And that those are the ideas of receptivity. You do not go to it. It's like me going to, like me in the head going to the body. Let it come to you. And you can see that that thing allowing something to come to you, there's no desire there. Well, you can always throw desire into anything, but there's less chance of it, say. That attitude. Become accustomed in your observation to let the observed come to you. You do not go to it. This means you're completely receptive. In the beginning, the body will appear to you in fractions. But when the looking is sustained, there comes a moment when there is a fusion of all parts and you come to a global feeling of the body. You feel the object body become more and more subtle and expanded beyond the frontiers of the physical body. In this process, there is no naming. When there is no conceptualization, at a certain point, observer and observed disappear, and there is only pure perception, direct perception. This is what we mean by the end of ego. And you see what's very important there is it's not conceptualized. As long as you stay in the thinking mind, there's always me with my ideas about the body and then the limitations of that. When you drop the whole thinking process, the conceptualizing and defining, then the body begins to appear as energy. And that sense of you being in the body and trying and so on, that begins to fall away. Be aware how you exclude your head from body sensation. The head belongs to the body, but it is as if you work from the head. And that's why I'm constantly emphasizing, notice your eyes, notice your jaw, notice when you're making a lot of effort, you're going to be, like too much, wrong effort, say, you're going to be kind of like squeezed there. Notice how like thinking is cerebral, obviously, and thinking is pressure in the head, in the mind. So as you become more and more aware of the body and you include your head, you'll see that movement of craving is in the eyes, in the head, and so on. So be aware how you exclude your head from body sensation. The head belongs to the body, but it is as if you work from the head. Don't make the head the center of observation. If you do, the observer remains fixed on the observed like a donkey in a stall. When there is fusion of the observer and the feeling body, you are no longer fixed in front of you, but are brought in a way behind you. The perception is then completely homogeneous. Every part of the body is transparent. Once more. So this is a suggestion of a body meditation which isn't maybe like the sweeping practice that many of us have learned, which is good, it's good. But this is a kind of interesting way of challenging the whole sense of self and those things. So once more, duttiyampi. Let this body be an object of observation. Let it become feeling. At first, you'll feel only the superficial surface of the body. But as you sustain the observation, you'll become aware of different layers of sensation. Become accustomed in your observation to let the observed come to you. You do not go to it. This means you are completely receptive. In the beginning, the body will appear to you in fractions. But when the looking is sustained, there comes a moment when there is a fusion of all the parts and you come to a global feeling of the body. You feel the object body become more and more subtle and expanded beyond the frontiers of the physical body. In this process, there is no naming. When there is no conceptualization, at a certain point, observer and observed disappear, and there is only pure perception, direct perception. Be aware how you exclude your head from body sensation. The head belongs to the body, but it is as if you work from the head. Don't make the head the center of observation. If you do, the observer remains fixed on the observed like a donkey in a stall. When there is fusion of the observer and the feeling body, you are no longer fixed in front of you, but are brought in a way behind you. The perception is then completely homogeneous. Every part of the body is transparent. So let's try that. I mean, if this sounds just too outer space-ish, then, you know, use whatever works, but it's an interesting suggestion. Okay, let's do some sitting.